As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is The Athletic Baseball Show on The Athletic Podcast Network.
That is hammered!
Man, that ball got out of here in a hurry. You know, anything travels that far ought to have a damn stewardess on it, don't you think?
High drive! Left field! It is out of here!
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
You're listening to The Roundtable with Grant Brisby, Andy McCullough, and Mark Carrig on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode number 75 of The Roundtable. It's our diamond anniversary for people that talk about all things on the diamond, right? Right, guys? I'm Grant Brisby. I'm here with Andy McCullough and Mark Carrig. Andy, you're shaking your head. You go.
No, man, I'm just, we got to figure out what we're wagering for next week.
Let's talk baseball before football, but yeah, that's a good teaser, because the Eagles are playing the Niners, and it's a big scary game. I'm not scared. Mark, what's up?
I'm annoyed that the Vikings didn't throw to that tight end the entire first freaking half yesterday, because it cost me a parlay, okay? Like, 12 yards short. It's like the first time ever that dude didn't catch a ball in the first half. He does it once, and we're making some money.
Oh, man.
Folks, you won't get more ethical coverage than you will at The Athletic.
That's brutal. I had a similar loss where I put a bunch on Blake Snell being unanimous Cy Young, and Logan Webb got a vote, you know? So
the worst. Anyway. Worst.
All right, let's talk baseball. I wouldn't say the stove's super hot right now. I'd say it's like a lukewarm, you know, you can get a simmer going.
It goes on.
You're putting that mulling spices on. Like, you know, you're not boiling water, you're just kind of simmering. The Cardinals are doing things. I guess we can start with the Cardinals. They have spent a fair chunk of money to get starting pitchers. Are you scared of their rotation now? Anyone?
No, I'm not scared of anything, Grant, except for dying. Look, I mean, I think that getting Sonny Gray at that price point and that length of a deal, it's hard to dislike it, right? I think probably, I don't want to speak for the pod, but I feel like we probably all favor shorter contracts with higher AAV over longer contracts that spread it out. I think because we all know what happens to free agents, as they tend to get worse and often fall off cliffs and things like that because they're older players. So getting Sonny Gray, even if it's theoretically post peak for what is age 34, age 35, and age 36 seasons, right? Like when he's been pretty good since he left the Yankees in 2018 for three, you know, that feels like a better deal than getting him for 6 years, just because the downside risk is so much less significant. You know, Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson, it's kind of like, all right, I get it. You know, you need humans to throw baseballs to the catcher. And, you know, Lance Lynn, I would bet on him, you know, probably being better than he was last year. And I think Kyle Gibson's a perfectly fine back end star, but it doesn't really like, it's really about like Sonny Gray. And then, you know, whether or not, I guess there's a little bit of dead cat bounce with Lance Lynn. Although the idea of me saying to his face that he's a dead cat bouncing seems funny. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I'm with you. I tried to place a bet that Sonny Gray's contract would be the best of the offseason. My bookie said that there's like no real way to measure that. And so he wouldn't let me, but I still think that's Mark's dying. You got to watch this on YouTube sometimes. But seriously, I think that's going to be the best like contract of the offseason, perhaps. Like you're going to look, the dust is going to sail, and you're going to look and go, what was that all about? Like, great move, great move, great move. Kyle Gibson, the signing surprised me because he's been on the Cardinals for the last like 8 years. Yeah. Maybe not actually on the Cardinals, but in spirit. What right. A Cardinals ass pitcher. Is Kyle Gibson.
Yes.
I mean, just like yes. Through and through, you know, Lance Lynn would have been, but he was actually on the Cardinals.
Right. You knew him from another life when his name was Jason Marquis.
He's just straight up Kyle Loesch. You know what I mean? Like it's, I don't know. I do think that you need bodies, but you're filling it out with Steven Matz and then whoever you can get up from the minors. And you're talking the ages starting next year, 34, 35, 36, 36, turning 33 in the middle of the season, you're going to need some help from the minors. And, you know, they're maybe going to need it more than, I don't know. Like, I don't know if Matthew Liberatore's, you know, he's got an option. So I guess they'll figure that part out. But I don't know. It seems super risky and maybe not enough in the collective, in the aggregate.
Remember when it was just the first two guys? It was Lance Lynn first and then Gibson second.
Funny.
And right? Like, and so Grant just shared a bit of our like internal podcast chat because then we were just like, when is John Tudor showing up? Right? Like, let's just call all, let's round up the old gang.
Ken Forsh. Right? Come yeah, on, baby. Say, let's get Ken Forsh.
Did you use Forsh in there? I think you did, actually. Yeah. Yeah. So,
classic Cardinal.
I look at the Sonny Gray signing and I think that's a really interesting one because. Yeah, like to Andy's point, right? You'd think that other teams would have been super interested in something like that. But remember, and this is not a knock on the guy, all right? But I think with a guy like Sonny Gray, with the experience that he had in a place like New York, like, you know, being mindful of the market that you're signing up for is going to matter. And I feel like, you know, again, it's almost unfair to base all of these assumptions on like a rough run in New York. In retrospect, and you know, there have been bits and pieces that have come out about this. Like, yeah, it was a struggle in that market. And so going to St. Louis, right? Like, and again, those people want winners and whatever. Like, and they've been, I said this a couple
weeks
ago. They're
the best fans in baseball.
There you go. There it is. So they lost 90 games for the first time in like 30 years or whatever. Like, they obviously have high standards there, but it is also a market that, you know, isn't usually eviscerating their players when they struggle. And I think that matters some.
Was Sonny Gray's issues in New York market-based? I thought that was like dealing with the pitching program.
No, I mean, I think it was market-based partly too. All right. Yeah, for sure. Like, and that's, again, and I hate saying that because it like, you know, it's not a judgment on a guy, but these are human beings and individuals are individuals. And like, and some folks just, you know, it doesn't fit, right? And in that particular case, I think it was sort of the market. Like, you know, the person who says this a lot, CC Sabathia, right? And he's a pretty self-aware guy, right? And like, and he knew what he was signing up for. And I think he thrived there because he knew that, you know, it was a personality type that could handle some of that stuff. And that's not to say that Sonny Gray's lesser or whatever. He's just different. It's a different deal. Like, how many Yankees people or pitchers have signed there, struggled, leave there, and they're back to what they were? Right. And I think like, you know, you'd have to be foolish not to think about that experience when, remember, like free agency for these players is a big deal because they get to choose. Right. And that's a big deal. So I wonder, right, if St. Louis sort of had an edge in that regard for, hey, this is a place where I could see myself fitting
probably
in.
Yeah.
You know, like
it's a 4 or 5 hour drive from where he grew up, you know, and went to college outside of Nashville, you know, all that stuff. Like,
and the money helps. It's a good deal.
Yeah, he's getting 25.
He's getting paid.
Right,
yeah.
Right,
so
right. I think for the Cardinals like though, like, okay, so what you bank on, let's say, yeah, let's, you know, be fair, 160 innings from Sonny Gray next year. Right. Because he has dealt with some health stuff, you know, minor-ish stuff in the recent years, is 300 innings from Lynn and Gibson going to be all that different from, you know, the 300 accumulated innings they were getting from, you know, it has to be better than what Adam Wainwright did this year. But like, I don't know. I think I would feel a little bit, if I were a Cardinals fan and I was, you know, having a slice of pizza with Provel on it after an appetizer of mozzarella sticks called toasted ravioli, I would wonder why they jumped so quickly on guys that look more like backfilling, I guess, you know, bulk, you know, $10 million for Kyle Gibson. I mean, he had a five the last 2 years. I would be curious to know if they're, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, they can still add more pitchers, but you would like guys with maybe a little bit less assuredness and maybe like, I'd rather spend that $10 million on a guy who might turn into like, you know, Alex Cobb or something like that. You know what I mean? Like
Lucas Giolito, like you have like a ceiling there.
Yeah. I mean, right. You can't just say like, you know, who's the guy? Oh, well, they should go get Jack Flaherty. No. Like,
Luis Severino.
That's not a fit, you know, but like, I don't know. Like the downside risk with Severino is he pitches five games and is terrible, right? Whereas like you're just kind of locking in 400, you know, 200 to 300 innings of like 4.5 ERA baseball. I don't know how crazy I am about that.
I will say that there is a Cardinals fan right now who's still steaming that I pronounced Matthew Liberatore's name wrong. Yeah. And also the idea that they're counting on him when he's kind of fallen out of favor a little bit. They're maybe counting on Tink Hentz. And I bring that up just because I want to say his name, Tink Hentz. It's an all-time great baseball name, but he's 21 and he just had a cup of coffee in AA last year. So I don't think they have that upper level, like, oh, well, we can just mix and match all day long if one of these guys goes down. I'm not seeing that. Maybe I'm missing something. I'm not a Cardinals expert, but yeah, it's you're locking yourself in for banality.
Right. And just given like how far away they looked last year, right, and how kind of locked in the position player core is. Look, on the one hand, right, they have like solutions, as it were, right? They can be more targeted or whatever. They don't have to worry about backfilling. But if it finishes with these three as, you know, rounding out the rotation, I think you feel pretty good about Gray as long as he stays healthy. And then sort of like, okay, we really need Miles Michaelis to be better. Right. Like we really need Steven Matz to pitch like a four and not like a seven. Right. Like it's, you know, and then, you know, the position player talent is there, obviously, right, has demonstrated flashes of being there. But yeah, it feels like almost anticlimactic in some ways, given how much we knew they needed guys who missed bats.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, I think we said it at the time. As a group, remember that? Like, hey, we should get dudes that miss bats. Well, good luck, because the other 29 are chasing the same thing.
Right, right.
Okay, like, welcome to the party. The other 28, the A's are chasing whatever. All right, so like, you know, the problem was always going to be the scarcity of that. There's a reason it's so valued. There's not a ton of it out there. So, you know, I'm looking at the ages of these guys. So this is the starting rotation right now on the FanGraphs depth chart, right? So Sonny Gray, 34. Miles Michaelis, 35. Okay. Kyle Gibson, 36. Lance Lynn, 36 and a half. And Steven Matz, who's 32, but like he's been hurt so often that, like, you know, he might as well be a mid 30s guy because he's just never stayed healthy. So, and then when he has been healthy, like, you know, the performance has been an issue. So, you know, just on like risk of injury and age, man, that's some scary stuff, even though I do. I mean, and Sonny Gray is the youngest guy there that they signed. Another reason to like the deal, like, you know, again, like pretty, I thought that was a nice aggressive move. I mean, he's a top 10 free agent on our board this year, but yeah, like that's just taking a glance at that. Like that is precarious, especially given like all the talk they did about having to shore this up. Yeah. It's rough.
You know, I will say that when it comes to missing bats or not missing bats, the Cardinals should have a good defense. You've got Arenado, you've got Edmund, you've got, I think Gorman's a little bit raw, but I think he's got some potential. You got Goldschmidt. They should be okay with infield defense if you've got guys who can put it on the ground. Lance Lynn, not exactly a put it on the ground sort of guy. He's like a put it in the air and hope it comes down in the ballpark. But still, the Cardinals have a good defense. Their lineup, I look at it, and they're the new squints. You know what I mean? They're the new squint and you can see it. The Red Squints.
The Red Squints, the St. Louis Squints.
Yeah. So, you know, a squint, you can see it. I don't hate this idea. I just don't. I could imagine being a Cardinals fan and going,
You know, Mark, you made the point that, you know, the other teams are chasing, you know, they're all chasing the same thing, right? But there's actually a good amount of swing and miss on the market. I mean, there's not, you know, it's not like one guy. It's not just Yamamoto. It's not just Blake Snell. You know, it wasn't just Aaron Nola. It wasn't just Sonny Gray. I mean, you know, there's Corbin Burns, who's probably not, it sounds like as of right now, probably won't get moved, but at least is like they're listening. Dylan Cease. Tyler Glass now, you know, Shota Imanaga is going to be posted. You know, like there are more, it's easier to find a starting pitcher who can, you know, strike out a batter per inning than it was 10 years ago. So for them to default to guys who, you know, kind of fit that older profile, I thought, you know, look, it's hard to break old habits. They like what they like.
You know who would have been a good fit for them? Jordan Montgomery. And I'm saying that half to be cheeky, but half because it's true. You know what I mean? Like that was a good fit at the time. It was a good fit back last season, and it was a good fit this season. But I'm guessing his price tag was just too high after that postseason.
Yeah, he's younger. You know, he's younger. I think he hasn't like made the money that Sonny Gray made, you know, because Sonny Gray's like had, he took some, I think it was not a pre-arb deal, but some sort of pre-free agency deal that like kind of set him up where it's like, hey, if he manages his life properly, he doesn't really have to worry about cash moving forward. Whereas, you know, Montgomery's gone through the arb system. He's like 3 years younger. He might be, I don't know, how old is Montgomery? Yeah, I mean, he's 30. That's just so different. When you're a 30-year-old pitcher and, you know, Scott Boras is your agent, like, you're not taking 375.
Does Scott Boras represent writers? My contract's up with The Athletic, and
they have to be elite ones, Grant.
Yeah, ooh. No, that's what I'm talking about.
Grant, are you a generational talent?
I mean, I'm not a generational talent.
If Scott was representing you, you'd be a generational talent.
What would he say about me?
Oh,
would
yeah.
you what say that I can grant The Athletic 3 wishes?
Oh, maybe yes. Some more? Yep. Keep going. Yep.
Yeah, you know, when you're tossing the Brisbee around, you're sure to catch it good, right? Yep,
exactly.
Okay.
No, keep going. This is good. I feel like this is a winter meetings preview already.
Okay, this signing has a buzz around the arena, and it's coming from a Brisbee.
Oh, boy.
I mean, keep going.
Stay hot.
Yeah, okay, my middle name is Roger, so Roger that. No, God damn it. Cut that. I didn't mean to announce that. I'm just kidding. Keep that in.
Are you embarrassed about your middle name being Roger?
Nah, it's my uncle's name.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, Uncle he was a hippie up in Oregon. Passed away recently. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry to hear about that. We dedicate this episode to Uncle Roger.
Yeah, yeah. No. Anyways.
And to flinging the Brisbee around.
Flinging the old Brisbee around, huh? Let's go, baby. I could probably get like 330 if Boras were my agent.
Like $30 bills?
The teams are lining up for the ultimate Brisbee.
Exactly. All right, well, that, I think, killed that Cardinals discussion, talking about me.
It's early, man. The stove is on, but it's not buzzing just yet. One thing, you know, that I think is a little interesting is that there's been three relatively major pitcher signings, or three multi-year deal pitchers signings that I think have kind of in some ways set something of a market, right? So Aaron Nola's deal was 7-172, Sonny Gray at 375, and then Kenta Maeda 2-24. So that's like those are three different tiers of type of players. You kind of have an idea at the very least of like what kind of the floor ceilings are. And so I think that at least provides something of a framework. I do think though that, you know, one of the things that often you see in this market is like, in order to get someone in November, right, you kind of got to jump. And so like, if you want Kyle Gibson, you got to pay him $10 million in November, right? You know, like, and that's the, and so there are teams who would be interested in that type of player, but they don't want to jump, you know, and that pauses the market in some ways. Like, we sort of know where everyone's going to fit in within these barriers. We kind of see it, at least on the pitching side, but it will take time, you know, for the aggressive clubs and the, you know, the patient clubs or whatever to sort of figure everything else out.
So what's the premium they're paying then, right? Because like, you know, 1-10 in November is what later on? What's the difference?
So if you go by the Fangraphs crowdsourcing, their crowdsource has been pretty okay so far. They had 112 for Gibson, and he got 113, right?
Oh, he got 13?
Yeah.
Who got 10? Maybe it was Lance Lynn.
One for 13. Hold on. Is he on the...
Lynn got 11. Oh, what? Where am I looking at? I just had bad numbers.
Yeah, well, let me go to the second page of the free agents by WAR.
Gibson got 10, according to Baseball Reference.
The crowdsource for Lynn was 110. He got 111. So I guess the premium's an extra mil. That's his quote. You can get an extra mil. You know what that's from.
It's always like, it's always just certainty.
Which, I mean, you know, yeah, right, right. And I feel like that shouldn't be totally underrated, but like I get, you know, I mean, it's good. Like when you're broadcasting to the world, we need arms, right? Like it certainly does kind of increase a little bit of pressure. So the certainty aspect of it can't be totally dismissed, right?
Yeah, and it also frees you up to do other things. So, like, just in terms of the mental space of thinking for, like, okay, do we want to make a trade here? Do we want to pursue this player? Blah, 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 blah. You don't have to be, you know, constantly thinking about filling the fourth and fifth spots. It's just certainty and allows you to maybe make, you know, more informed decisions down the road.
So let's attack it this way. What kind of team would be interested in, say, like a Marcus Stroman and Eduardo Rodriguez, someone who might not be the best long-term investment, but you know, for the first year or two of their contract, what kind of team would want a pitcher like that? Would it be a team with, say, older positional core with a closing window? Because that sure describes the Cardinals. You know what I mean? Like, they maybe, if who cares what the pitchers are doing in 3 years if Goldschmidt and Arenado are old or gone or whatever, maybe now is the time to just throw caution to the wind and say, no, we want the Kyle Gibson, but you want to step up, and that's Eduardo Rodriguez or something like that.
Yeah, I just think that the price point for Eduardo Rodriguez is so completely different. Okay, but it's like you're talking about like a five-year contract, potentially.
Yeah, but I mean, the Cardinals should pay it because last year was such a disaster. That's like, that's kind
of... I don't agree with that.
You don't?
No, okay. I don't. I don't. I mean, I don't want to lock in a number three, number four type starter for his downside years just because we were really bad last year, right? Like, I think though that if you are a team like the Twins, like the Reds, like, you know, maybe even the Orioles, who doesn't want to play at in the Yamamoto market but could probably use another arm, someone like Stroman would make sense. You know, someone like Rodriguez would make sense, where you're looking for, you know, mid-tier rotation stability with, you know, upside, especially in Stroman's case, whereas there's times where when he's healthy, he's pitched like closer to a, you know, an elite three type of number two. I don't know. I think those are the teams where if you're not gonna spend, you know, $200 million or whatever it's gonna take to get Blake Snell, but you need arms, like those should be the teams in that sort of pool.
Yeah, I'm with you. Do we know where Otani's gonna sign yet? I mean, I've heard, but I can't say anything. I'm sworn to secrecy.
Who knows, man? You know.
Man, the Twitter hijinks already with him is just like out of control. Like the fakes and whatever, like the ooh, we're here and stuff, and then nothing comes by. Like, it's just, you knew it was gonna happen, and like, you know, if the hot's over, just like Twitter nonsense about Otani, well, yeah, it is burning hot because it is everywhere.
I don't see any of this. Like, I don't. Maybe it's possible to just like, I don't cure. I've curated my feed so.
Oh well. Yeah, you've curated your feed. There's already been fakes. Like some knucklehead put a Dodger logo on a plane. You know, oh, the Dodgers.
But how do you see that?
I'm a pizza eater. I have to see this stuff.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Because then I have to be the one to go, hey, we're gonna read about this. And then yeah, I hear the eye roll on the other end of the phone. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. Just checking.
Like, you know, like I'm that person now.
I just don't know how. I don't come across any of this stuff.
Well, good for you.
Well, let's start a fake. Like,
no.
I heard.
Let's not start.
Elon Musk was using the Boring Company to go underneath Oracle Park to build a tunnel specifically for Otani to go in unseen, like from Chase Center to Oracle Park unseen, negotiate, and go back out. I've heard that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it's possible to have it both ways. I'm all set for summer thanks to Mack Weldon. The Vesper polo shirt is so breathable you can wear it on the golf course, but it looks classy enough to wear to a party. The Maverick Tech chino short is ultra flexible, and the Pima crew neck t-shirt is perfect for those casual weekends. There's no need to be uncomfortable in your clothing ever again. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants. An upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads. An ultra-soft antimicrobial tee for when you need to stay fresh longer. That's the Silver Crew Neck T-shirt. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code MLBSHOW. That's MackWeldon.com. Promo code MLB show.
Let's get a temperature check on the Giants fan base. What's the vibes? What are they thinking? What are they feeling?
Lots of responses in all caps. two beat reporters mentioning this, like they re-signed Cole Waits to a minor league deal, right? They DFA'd him because he needs Tommy John. He's still a reliever who, when he's healthy, can throw in the triple digits. People don't like that because he's not Otani. People are, how come other teams are making moves like they're going to be sated by Kyle Gibson, right? Like if the Giants, Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson, they'd be like, yeah, attack that market. Like no one's really attacking the market. So it's dumb. It's dumb. That's the temperature. The temperature is dumb.
Huh. So I think we talked about this a little bit like last year, kind of with the Judge thing, when it seemed like, look, they're going to try for Judge and they're not going to get Judge. If they don't land Otani, right, which they probably won't because there are 29 other teams and, you know, he'll probably pick another team. If they don't land Cody Bellinger, I mean, do they have to sign Cody Bellinger essentially? Are they in a position where they have to give Cody Bellinger $250 million and hope that he stays healthy?
The only reason I am not finishing up my article on Cody Bellinger is because I'm talking to you knuckleheads. But I'm writing about this right now where he's like grown in laboratory conditions to be the perfect fit for the Giants, if not for his weird career arc and Scott Boras. But you're talking about an athletic, young, good defender and center, power. Like, he is exactly what the Giants need. To a T. The only way he could be better is if he was like 24 or something. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big pursuit. I do think that Yamamoto, the fans are excited about that possibility. And, you know, Zaidi was in Japan scouting him personally. So, I mean, you know that they're interested. It's a tricky offseason to, I guess every offseason's tricky to, like, well, build up hypes and then you come away and you've got Matt Chapman or something, right? But this is no different. It's, you just know you're not going to get Ohtani, right? Maybe you do, but it's like, what, a 1% chance?
It's probably more than that, but it's like, who knows? No one knows why.
Nobody knows.
No one knows where or why he's going to end up somewhere.
Dude picked a, like, he had his choice of all 30 major league cities, and he chose the one that smells like convention centers. You don't know what he's thinking.
No, no. And that is nuts when you think about it. Like, this is a guy who's hid in plain sight. The fact that still nobody's like, whoa, no one knows what this guy wants. Like, I mean, that's just, you know, I think it is without precedent. Honestly, you know, he's a player without precedent in so many ways, and his free agency is without precedent as well. I'm curious, Grant, have you started writing the Bellinger story?
Yeah, absolutely.
How many words is it at?
What do we got? We are 610.
You can stop.
600, come on, man. 600 words?
That's just the intro.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I will say, when I was with SB Nation and I was writing, God, like 5 stories a day, right? I would use 1,000 as my stopping point. It was just like I would crank out 5, 6, 7,000 word stories because that's the limits of what's humanly possible. But here I got a little bit more time to breathe, and so I get my extra thoughts in. You know, my thoughts are interesting, baby. People pay for these thoughts. So I'm looking at 1,300, 1,400. You know, that's my So, yeah.
Feels excessive.
No, because my thoughts are freaking people pay for my thoughts. What am I going
to... What thought is there to have other than, man, this is terrifying to try and go out on a limb for this guy, and also the team kind of has to do it?
Oh, I pad it all. I mean, look at all these extra words.
Jesus Christ.
I've got, I'm taking, there's a joke. Probably don't need that. I put a quote from the movie Contact. Don't need that. But staying in, baby, because that's my brand.
I guess what I'm asking is, do you agree with my argument?
I think I'm getting there, yeah. I mean, he's such a fascinating free agent. As confusing of a free agent as I've ever seen, and I'm not even sure if that's hyperbole, because you have a guy who, if he didn't have that bizarro, weirdo career arc, he would be getting, you know, everyone would be clamoring for him, but he had that arc. And then he had that year last year, but his exit velocity was way below the league average, like his barrel rate. But then his strikeout rate got way better. Like, he's a bananas weirdo player, and then you add Scott Boras on top of it. It's fascinating.
The thing about Bellinger is, year to year, there will be such fluctuations in his offensive approach, because that just seems to be the way he handles hitting, right? He is a tinkerer. And he clearly took his approach this year and was like, I am going to cut down on strikeouts, amp up contact. And so, yeah, the exit velocity went down. He also had his best season since he was the MVP, right? And I don't think that's an accident, right? Like, there's very few players who you hear about who like make a sort of targeted change like that. They get the results and you're like, oh, that's a fluke. It's like, no, this is an incredibly talented human being who, you know, is listening to, you know, kind of a change of scenery or whatever. The problem is that, like, if you get a 900 OPS season from him 1 year, there's no way you can bank on it for the next year. But if you get a 700 OPS season from him, he could easily be at 900 the next year, right? The Dodgers dealt with this, you know, when he was in the 0-3 in the ARB system, where it's like, you know, you just hope the defense stays elite. And so in some ways, right, like, his floor is so high because if he can continue to play good defense in center field, right, like, that's a really nice thing to have. But the offense just fluctuates in ways where, like, I don't know, like, jumping in bed for 7-8 years. But, like, again, the Giants just, they got to do something, man.
Yeah, no, it's tricky. I'm trying to find the MLB trade rumors staff projections for him, and I'm having trouble pulling it up. But it made me, like, hold on. And I brewed a cup of coffee. I, like, waited for it, and I let it cool for a second. And then I took a sip, and then I spit it all over my computer screen because it was like... 10 years, $300 million or something. I'm gonna find it while we're talking. But it was like, okay, I'm assuming that you're gonna get 7 years and, you know, 150. No, like it was a big boy contract. I don't disbelieve that Boris is going to get it. It just made me do a double take because it was way out of line with what
I
was expecting.
Are you serious? Is this hyperbole? Are you serious that that was the projection?
It was a bananas projection. So I'm going to try and find it.
I will say this. I had a conversation with a scout during the around the trade deadline, and the scout's team was like looking at Bellinger, and so they asked him to just write him up. The scout was like looking at the, you know, Bellinger and kind of going like, well, like he's a plus defender. He's a plus runner. Like he's got a plus arm. He, you know, has like a 900 OPS. He's cut down on strikeouts. Like this guy, he's like one of the 10 best players in baseball if he's right. And I'm like, yes, he won the MVP when he was like healthy a few years ago, and he's going to be 28 years old. Like it's totally reasonable, right? If you take out, you know, having kind of wrecked his shoulder and all the other, he had the kind of the Bart Simpson condition, right, where they sent him to the doctor and he came back with all these different sort of ailments for like 2 years. But if you take out that period of time, yeah, you're talking about a guy who like would be talking about like Juan Soto type money in free agency.
Yeah, 100%. That's what makes him so weird. Let me see. 12 years, $264 million.
No.
But maybe. You know,
no.
I kind of had that suspicion, but that's their projection. They do generally good work, you know. I mean,
who's this?
MLB Trade Rumors.
Trade Rumors had 12 years?
12 years, 264. No. I think that's high. I think that's hot, but I don't think it's too. I think the length, maybe. I mean, I wasn't expecting what Bogaerts got last year. Like, it seems like that deal is a little in vogue, spreading it out for the luxury tax.
I guess. I just feel like, though, with Bellinger, if he gets that, there's an opt-out after, like, three.
Well,
he's 28. He's Boris. In a different age bracket than all these guys. Boris is not going to lock him down for into his to age 40.
Tim Britton's got it at 6 and 162. And to Tim's credit, he freaking nailed
he's
the Sonny Gray deal, by the way. Like, when he misses, it's stuff like, oh, someone got an extra year or whatever. So, like, I'm going to, you know, like, that is heavy. Grant.
Yeah, no, and that's what I was.
Whoa, I think he's gonna get more than that. I think he's gonna get more than that.
I think it's somewhere in between. Like that's with an opt out after year three or something.
Sure. Yeah, I mean his position in the market, like all that stuff.
Yeah,
like,
as the best hitter, the best non-Otani player on the market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so certainly in the conversation for that, and like, yeah, I mean, I think when we talk about free agency, right, none of this is rational. Right? Like, and you've quoted Friedman saying that before, and it's a great one.
Yeah, I was getting retweets the other day, and I was like, oh, some team signed someone.
Right. Yeah. Like, but so that's what the Giants aspect of it, as you kind of started this discussion with, is so intriguing to me because I think there is something to, you know, you got to do something for that. Like, it's one of the franchises where I feel like there's like a handful of franchises in the sport where they got to be healthy for the sport to be healthy, right? Like they got to be interesting for the sport to be the best it can be. And I think the Giants are one of them, okay? The ballpark, the market, their fan base. And they have such a malaise there right now. And I think Grant, like I'm giving Grant shit. Like Grant has done such a great job, Andrew has too, of just like capturing that malaise, right? Like you guys have been really good about emphasizing it because it is a thing. So forget the rational part, dude. I totally agree. Like they got to do something and maybe this is it. And like, if it fits them to a T, like better get it done. Cause like, that's a franchise that like, I think for the good of the sport needs to be interesting. And certainly this is a player who's going to make a huge difference if they get him.
They're playing in a market where they're in the shadow of two of the greatest sports talents of all time with Steph Curry and Brock Purdy. So it's like, but seriously, like the Warriors and Niners are interesting. You know, the Warriors are doing their thing where they're slow out of the gate. The Niners are, they look unstoppable, like just freaking amazing. They're just going to just mow through the rest of the league all the way to the Super Bowl. I'm just saying that the Giants, that does count. That does, they're playing in a market where the other teams are really interesting, and they're not. They're aggressively uninteresting.
You know what? I hadn't thought of it that way. And like the Bay Area is an event market. All right. It always has been, always will be. You better be relevant. This is not a place where you're going to get all those fans just showing up. Like, I think there was a ballpark effect for a while where that might have happened, like in pockets, but that's done with. So yeah, that pressure is there. And like anyone from the Bay Area, you know this, right? Like it's an events place. So you know, you got to give those fans a reason to come to that park other than it's really pretty.
You know, one thing I'll give the Giants credit for is that unlike the 49ers, they don't make excuses when they lose.
What's that? It's not an excuse. It's just...
they don't pretend. They don't pretend that like not blocking for your quarterback is like bad luck.
Well, it's a terrible play. That's it. Listen, you had a second string tight end blocking one of the most fearsome rushers. Like, yeah, no. They screwed up.
Oh, geez. Oh man, variance. Oh no. Like you just. Oh man, how do we get so unlucky that we didn't have a good backup quarterback and
but
we didn't block?
People
for
get
quarterback.
Sacked in
oh.
every game and they don't blow out their UCL. Like,
oh,
come
yeah.
on.
You know who that doesn't happen to is Jalen Hurts. Because he protects himself at all times.
Now you're jinxing.
Protect him.
Oh, now you're.
At all times.
Oh, that,
I don't
some,
care. I'm going on my honeymoon shit. During the Super Bowl, so it doesn't matter.
Are you really? Whose choice is that?
It's mutual between my wife and I.
Man, I really hope the Eagles are in it now.
They are. They're the best team in the sport. They win every week, which I thought was.
Go Birds.
I guess for the Niners, it was to like make excuses and have style points, but that's whatever.
Where are you going on your honeymoon?
Vietnam. So they have TVs there. I'll watch the Birds, you know, lose to Patrick Mahomes again. Just be furious for a day.
Fair enough.
Hey, good news is for the fans, right? So the Birds are playing the Niners this weekend, and Grant and I are going to have some sort of friendly wager that we need to sort out soon. Would it be worthwhile to open it up to the roundtable heads?
Of course.
Best suggestion wins, and we'll do it because we're doing two shows next week.
I got a lot of emails last week, throughout the week, about where the roundtable merch was.
Did you really?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I put it in my mailbag. Yeah.
Yep. And I got, you know, some nice words too. Like people like, hey, I love reading your stuff. So it was very, very nice. And thank you for that.
And what's the turnaround on that stuff? We got to like rock that in Nashville now. I mean,
we don't really have time for that. The winter meetings start on Sunday, dude.
Doggone it.
Does like doing something with my face, like a handlebar mustache for the rest of the winter meetings, does that move the needle at all?
It does for me. I just can't do that. I can't grow a beard. So we got to find some. So for the roundtable heads out there, please tweet at Mark Carrig or email gbrisby@theathletic.com if you have suggestions for how we should handle our Eagles-Niners bet. We have two shows.
Two shows next week. Yeah, I'm excited about
Very
that.
Exciting.
In
Monday
person.
And Wednesday in person. Yeah. We might have some guests.
Because I'm usually like, you know, I'm when I log on, I'm just sitting there. This is great, but I want to know what like Andy smells like. That's constantly going through my head. Like, does Mark bathe in Axe? I don't even know. Like, Mark, are you bathing in Axe like a 16-year-old going to a homecoming dance?
Wait, that's not a thing anymore?
I miss his musk, man. I miss his musk.
Shit, did I age out and not know it?
Yeah. I would say when I'm on the road, I smell like Old Spice and the impossible breakfast sandwich at Starbucks.
Yeah. I remember traveling on the road, man.
I had about 30 of those during the postseason.
Did you really?
Yeah, that's just my go-to breakfast. You know, it's healthy. It's a healthy.
I miss those.
You're like eating those. A laboratory when you're eating one of those.
Yeah, and it's bad. No, I'm slowly dying.
No, I smelled like Taco Bell and imposter syndrome when I was on the road.
So. So what do you think? Like winter meet, we only got like 5 minutes left. What do you think is going to happen at the winter meetings? Let's just do like a quick like a lightning round table. Where do you think Ohtani is going to sign during the winter meetings?
I'm just going to say yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no. That's going to be my.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. What about Yamamoto?
Well, it's been reported that Yamamoto is going to wait till after the winter meetings. So we shall see. I mean, I think I don't have any read on Ohtani whatsoever, right? But it would feel like considering he's kind of in control and he can probably pick kind of, you know, I don't, because of the way it seems like the negotiations are operating where it's sort of like, hey, make an offer and, you know, we'll see if we're interested. He probably might have a sense of what he's looking for. And so, I don't know, it feels like the biggest stage for it is just do it in the middle of the, you know, do it in the middle of the show But who knows? That's just a guess. Like with everything with Otani, it's just a guess. That's a guess for my own mental stability. So we have something to write, you know? And that will also, like, you know, it kind of like unplugs the drain on the market and everything can kind of flow from there.
Yeah. He's such a unique free agent that it's, I don't know. I can't make heads or tails of it. Like, he can wait until February and just like, I just like, he, you know, potentially because I just don't know.
That's like so 2018 though, isn't it? Like, aren't we past all that crap?
I would think right? so.
Remember how it got like really tired? Like, oh, I so think tired. About Bryce Harper.
But that wasn't, again, that we talked about this briefly. That wasn't because of Harper and Machado.
Right, per right.
Se. That was because teams were not interested right. in making offers at the level that it was going to take to sign them.
That's right.
Right. And I think that if Bryce Harper, if the same version of Bryce Harper, the same age, would have hit the market like last winter, he could have gotten that deal on December 1st rather than like March 1st or whatever it ended up being. I think that was just a time and place. It was the era of fake austerity where all the teams were, you know, pretending they, you know, weren't making money and stuff like that.
It's almost like the teams were colluding.
Whoa, we're pro labor, but we are not pro lawsuits.
Speculation.
We do not have the budget for that.
No.
Yeah, we're not pro libel.
Right. The pro libel.
Well, actually, it wouldn't be libel, It'd would be it?
Slander.
Thank you, slander. Sorry. Yeah,
it would be
libel's written dummy.
But that was just a different. That was just a different time. Like that was, you know, that was kind of the mode, and I think it, you know. Credit to some of these owners, like, you know, John Middleton, Peter Seidler, you know, who just were like, that's stupid. Let's sign good players. Let's sign it quicker. I think Middleton saw what a victory it was to get Harper and was like, let's do this, but let's do it 3 months earlier, you know? And I think some other teams have taken, you know, followed suit. And you know what? Like, we were kind of bagging on the Cardinals a little bit because we're not like crazy about, you know, what they've done. But look, give them credit for being aggressive and going out there and making moves and not, you know, just sort of defaulting to like, oh, let's just use our farm system to backfill this.
Yeah. And back to the Cardinals point real quick, because like, this is where sequencing matters. If they had signed Sonny Gray first and then backfilled with the other two guys, it's a whole different conversation, right? In fairness to them.
The Gray deal was great. I love the Gray deal for them.
Yeah, sure.
Keeping with the lightning round, just real quick, just first team that comes to your mind, Otani signs during the winter meetings. It's with the...
So Dodgers.
Dodgers. What about you, Andy?
Rangers.
Texas Rangers. I'm going Giants. I don't care. I'm kind of feeling it a little bit. Like, I just.
Can I have a second choice?
Sure.
Colorado Rockies.
Dude, that would rule. That would rule. I'm a Brewers, you know? Just.
Yeah.
Just like, no, we're not rebuilding. All those reports are wrong. We got Otani. Like,
eat it, council. Here comes
my second choice. Is the joke. Angels.
I mean, honestly, the incumbent always has an advantage.
I actually think they do in this case, right? And we've talked about this.
We've said this from the beginning.
Like, dude, there's not a price tag you can put on knowing exactly what you're going to get if you're Shohei Ohtani. Okay, so like that, let's not underrate that. He knows that he is the assistant GM of the ball club for as long as he's wearing a uniform, and that's not nothing.
Yeah. And, you know, we say we don't know what he wants. Maybe he, and this is like not snark, but like creature comforts. Just knowing what you're going to get day to day. That is very important to some people. Like very, very important. So I don't know.
Well, you know what? He has earned this right by reaching free agency. And for that, we salute him. And Grant, I wish you the best of luck in your free agency as well.
Thank you very much.
The ultimate Brisby.
The ultimate Brisby. Come on, come on. Let's go, let's go. All right. So this has been episode 75 of the Roundtable. We'll be back next week. We have two shows next week. Two shows from the winter meetings. Am I going to spoil it by saying that the barbecue boys are going to be making another appearance? I don't think that's a spoiler because no one cares.
They don't have anything else to do.
I mean, so it depends if I can get there in time for a preschool pickup. That's iffy, though.
I have flashcards. One's got Jake's picture on it next to his name, and one's got Jordan's picture on it next to his name. And I'm going to go, okay, Jake, Jordan, Jake, Jordan. So I'll be ready, man. I'll be prepared.
Brian, we will have juice boxes. Yeah, baby.
They seem like the kind of guys who turn the Capri Sun upside down and go boom, which is just
for sure.
100%.
Chaotic evil. All right. This has been episode 75 of the Roundtable. Back next week twice. We'll talk about baseball because that's what we do. See you then.
I was very wrong.